We welcome you to worship. So excited to be a part of God's family today as we worship here at College Park. We would like to find out who is in worship this morning. And the way we do that, there are pew pads on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests. Take that pew pad, write your name down, give us your contact information, send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask when it comes to the last person, once you're done, if you could send it back to where it got started. And we do ask that first person, when you are done, when it comes back to you, tear out the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for that. A few reminders about upcoming events and opportunities for the week. We are having children's time today after the first hymn, so invite all the kids to come down for just a few moments. Also, regular schedule begins tonight for the school year, all the youth activities and music activities for this afternoon, so that's there in your bulletin. College Parkers, you guys are leaving at 8:30 in the morning to head into Pennsylvania. And that sounds like it's going to be a great trip. And then next week is the College Parkers monthly meeting next Thursday. So it's going to be a busy time for College Parkers. Sounds great. Big Raj, I think you have an announcement.
I do. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
That is very possible, to have a bus. I bet we can.
Okay, well, that'll be a situation that we'll monitor and let you know next week more about that. That also happens to be the day that the Winston-Salem Water Club is serving barbecue lunches in our Smith Hall. And you might want to buy a lunch to eat when you come back. Robbie Walls and Gary Elton have tickets, and they don't have one, I have. So thank you, thank you, thank you. We're looking forward to closing this project up.
Thank you, Big Raj. Those who couldn't hear, the dedication service for the Habitat House that we were part of this summer is on September the 20th at 10 a.m. And we will make sure we have transportation for everyone. Bus, carpool, we'll find a way to get everybody there as necessary. So, a couple other reminders. Our prayer partner ministry, we have been doing that for the last 2 weeks, signing up for new prayer partners. It's a very simple process. The table as you come in the church has envelopes on it. Child, youth, all our college students at this point have been taken. We don't know where they are. Hopefully they're at college. But there are children and youth. You can grab an envelope. Inside the envelope is the name of prayer partner. You find their name on the list that's there on the table. Write your name beside them. Take their information home. And it's a significant way to impact the families of our church. So thank you for being a part of that. Any other announcements? I think we're good. I want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. Thank you so much for being a part of worship today. We'd like to give something to you. Ushers are coming down the aisles now. You gave us some information on the pew pad a moment ago, and we're thankful for that. If you're a guest, just raise your hand right where you are, and our ushers will come back down the aisles now. They'll give you a packet of information. Inside this packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find the newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our congregation, and you'll find out a little bit of the story of College Park. So thank you for being a part of worship today. I have a question. Are you ready to worship this morning? It is a choice that we make to worship. We can sit there in our pew and not worship. We can watch worship happen around us. True worship takes everything that we have. every ounce of our energy, as we sing, as we pray, as we focus, as we lift up words of praise to God. This is an active worship. Let us prepare for what God is going to do in us and through us this morning. Pray with me. Blessing, honor, glory, and power forever to you, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you, God, for giving us this moment as the body of Christ to focus on you. We need you to be a part of this worship. For without you, there is nothing. Please come. Be in this place, we pray. May we hear from you, and may we act on what we hear. May we be changed because of what you do in this time, because of what you teach us. May we be changed because of the thankfulness we have for who you are and all that you have done. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. the kids, come on down. Come on down. Take your time. We're not in any rush. Not in any rush. We're good. Crisscross applesauce, real still. It's good to see everybody this morning. How's everybody doing? We've got a few more. Come on. We'll take it. Come on. We're good. Everybody good this morning? Everybody wake up excited. The sun was shining. Good morning. Look at all those. Do y'all see all those funny people out there? Look out there. Especially up in the balcony. They're a little, back in that back corner, there's one really strange one in that back corner. All right. Everybody look this way. Have you ever, Jared, crisscross applesauce this way. Now, have you ever had to clean up your room? Have you ever had to make your bed or pick up your toys? Okay. Do you like doing that stuff? No. Well, I want to tell you about it. There was this time when, you know, moms and dads, they have to do more than just cleaning up the rooms. And sometimes we have to power wash the driveway and the sidewalk. Yeah, how many dads, moms power wash the sidewalk? Yeah, that is like the worst job. I mean, it takes forever to get, you got the dirt on the sidewalk and it just takes forever to get it clean. Well, I want to tell you, one day, this is about 2 years ago now, I knew that I had to get my sidewalk power washed. And I didn't want to get out there. It was hot and I was going to get dirty. Well, I decided, I went out to the mail and I noticed my sidewalk had been power washed already. Do you know what happened? My neighbor was being a nice guy and he power washed the entire sidewalk. And he didn't tell me, he just did it. One day when I was at church working, he just power washed my sidewalk. That was the greatest feeling ever. Do you think that's a pretty cool thing for somebody to do? He didn't tell me he was going to do it. He just went and did it. Now, I don't think he was trying to send me a message or anything that it was really dirty. He was just trying to be really, really nice. Do you like surprises? I love surprises. And I got a surprise that morning when he showed up and he did the power wash. But do you know what? You can surprise somebody too. Have you ever, just out of the blue, shared your snack with somebody? Or have you ever taken a toy you were playing with and that they wanted to play with, and you gave it to them without them asking? You shared your toys. Have you ever done something like that? Or a book you were reading? Surprise people and do loving, fun stuff like that. That's exactly what God wants us to do. Random things, and not to try to say, hey, look at me being nice. You just go and say, here's my snack. Here's my toy. Do you think you can do that? Can you share with somebody today? Can you do that without them asking? Or maybe cleaning up your room. That's without being asked. Or picking up your toys. That's what Jesus wants us to do. Can you do something like that today? Can you pick one thing to surprise somebody with and do something nice? Can you do that for me today? All right, you got to think in your head what you want to do and then find the time to do it. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you showed us great love when we didn't deserve it, we didn't expect it. But you showed us Jesus' love. Help us to show Jesus' love to other people, whether it's cleaning off a sidewalk or sharing our snack. Help us to show the love of Jesus with everybody we see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can go back to your seat now.
Good message for us all, indeed. Our reading today from God's Word comes from Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40, and Matthew 18, 15 through 20. If you'd like to read along in your pew Bible, the pages are listed there in the bulletin. We'll start with Psalm 119. This is a lengthy psalm, but this is a section, a very wonderful section of this very powerful psalm. Teach me, Lord, the way of your decrees, that I may follow it to the end. Give me understanding, so that I may keep your law and obey it with all my heart. Direct me in the paths of your commands, for there I find delight. Turn my heart toward your statutes, and not toward selfish gain. Turn my eyes away from worthless things, and preserve my life according to your word. Fulfill your promise to your servant, so that you may be feared. Take away the disgrace that I dread, for your laws are good. How I long for your precepts. In your righteousness, preserve my life. And then we move over to Matthew, chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you've won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, and listen closely to these words that follow, very powerful message for us to be reminded of. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if the two of you agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. Let's pray together. Oh, holy God, we thank you for your words. We thank you for the words that you give us for study, to grow closer to you and to understand who you are and how you work and what your desires are for us. Father, it's so easy to not understand the depth of our relationship with you or to just make you part of our day or part of our week on Sunday. It's easy to move ahead with our plans, try to be really organized and squeeze everything in every day. But in the meantime, you're calling our name softly and gently, saying, come to me. I have so much to tell you that will help you if you'll just stop long enough to listen. I have so much to show you, you tell us, so much that will help us in our earthly life here on earth as we go through every day, every challenge, every responsibility, every decision. You're there waiting. Help us to just stop and turn to you and pour out our hearts, to lay ourselves forth before you and to then listen for your voice. Father, thank you that you stand ready with open arms of grace and mercy and love and compassion. You understand us because you made us. You understand us more than anybody on earth. And only you can do the things that you do for your children. So help us to take our problems and anxieties first to you, even instead of those we love a lot, Lord. Help us first to come to you, to lay it all before you, and to seek your face and your guidance. For you have so much to give us, to tell us, to show us, so that we can live full of light and mercy and grace and love. Father, thank you for waiting on us and being patient. Forgive us when we're not faithful to you. But oh, how thankful we are that you are faithful to us. In thy name we pray. Amen.
Peace be upon you. It's mission planning time. Okay, I got to admit that I was that was a little more enthusiasm than I had when I got the request for input into the 2015 mission plan. And if you want to know more about the process, after service, you can look at the word budget. And I recommend Wikipedia. If you use Google, you just learn about renting cars. But one account that caught my eye was upkeep. And there are several contracts we have for maintaining the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning system, for the grounds maintenance, security system. This all totals about $17,000. And so you can do the math. It's we got a whole lot more year left than we got money in that budget. But let's pray about our plan for next year. Father, we're thankful for each member here, and we're thankful for all the activities that take place here in this facility. We ask that everything we do reflect your love, and we yet ask that you would be with those who are charged with our plans for next year and beyond. And we also ask that you would be with us as we continue to support this year's plan. In Jesus' name, amen.
Last couple of weeks, we've been in the book of Romans, and last week we finished up chapter 12 of the book of Romans, and today we are going to continue in Romans, but we kind of skip over this part about submission to authority. So you can go back and read that. That's the first seven verses, and the reason we skip it is because the lectionary skips it, okay? It wasn't a decision on my part, but... it's good stuff. So go back and read that, verses 1 through 7 of Romans chapter 13. But for today, we're going to pick up in verse 8 of Romans 13. It reads like this: "Let no debt remain outstanding except continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, and whatever other commandment there may be, are summed up in this one rule: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is what? The fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness or sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature." I know we're all good Baptists here, but I love a good John Wesley story every now and then. And one of my favorites is a story about an ordination service that took place in the United Methodist Church. And the bishop was there, and he was asking those who would be ordained a series of historical questions, questions that John Wesley had been quoted as asking more than 200 years earlier. And as a part of those questions, one of the questions that they asked was, of these that were being ordained, "Are you in debt so much as to embarrass you in your work?" The entire assembly chuckled. Politely nervously, but they chuckle. You see, Wesley first asked that question long before those who were divinity students had student loans, okay? To someone who had just finished 3 years of seminary or divinity school on top of 4 years of undergraduate college, the question might seem a little bit silly. But as someone pointed out, the key issue was so much as to embarrass you. You see, there really was none then, nor is there now, any shame in having student loans. So parents, relax. It's okay. Those of you who have student loans, those of you who will soon have student loans, relax. It's all right. Romans chapter 13, verse 8 speaks of debt and challenges for us not to be in debt to anyone. And in this day of credit cards and mortgages and student loans, that might seem like a ludicrous commandment. But the real rub, the real gist of it, comes next, where it says, except for the obligation to love each other. You see, the verse is not really talking about debt the way that we might understand it today, but rather it is talking about the entire focus of our daily living. We are called, we are challenged, we are commanded to love one another. There's not an escape clause here as I read it. He repeats it. There's not an escape. We are to love one another. And immediately you might say, well, that's silly, preacher. You can't command love. You just can't do it. How do you make someone love somebody else? Well, if you're talking in terms of someone's emotions, you just can't do it. You cannot tell a person how to feel about some... Well, I guess you could. You could tell them how to feel, but you can't enforce it. You can't force them one way or another. But you see, Paul isn't really talking about feelings here in this passage so much as about actions. The Theological Dictionary of the New Testament suggests that the verb agapeo, used here, speaks more about actions than feelings. The idea is that the command love might be more accurately translated as do loving things. Do loving things. Or as we might use verse 10 here to define it, love doesn't do anything wrong to a neighbor. You don't hurt your neighbors. You do good things for them. And if we think about the kind of the random act of kindness that Jeff was sharing, where his neighbor came over and pressure washed his. And you know, when I thought about the dirty job he was talking about, I said, son, you need a stronger pressure washer. That's the problem. You just need more power, man. It doesn't take that long if you got the horsepower to get it done. But anyway, but as I thought about what this gentleman did for Jeff, I thought, now that's it. You know, it's to do something kind, to do something loving for another person, not expecting anything in return. You know, and as you do those things, I think Paul would say, yeah, that's kind of what we're talking about here. That's how you fulfill this commandment. And to do that, according to Paul, is to fulfill the law in its entirety. That attitude of loving and giving and serving helps everything else to come in focus. You know, we really should wonder why this commandment right here, to love one another, you know, to help one another, that ought to be the kind of commandments that we're hanging up in the courthouse walls and city charters. And for those of you that live in neighborhoods where there's governing contracts for living in there, you know, that's the kind of thing that we ought to have in those type of contracts. You know, love each other. Just put it on a street sign, you know, at the beginning of your neighborhood or on the courthouse. Well, people just love one another. That would kind of cover it. That would eliminate some of the yeah we have to put up with today. And that's not a political statement. That's a people statement. All right? You know, love one another. Encourage one another. If we love each other, we won't hurt each other. We won't want to cheat on each other. We won't want somebody else's possessions to the point where we're consumed by it. We will honor and care for our parents. We will honor and care for each other. We would want to be part of making decisions as an individual and as a society that would benefit people. Love one another. Paul quotes part of the Ten Commandments here: do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery, do not, you know, and as he's doing that, he's saying, you know, if you will keep this commandment of loving one another, all those others come into context. They're a whole lot easier to keep the Ten Commandments when you keep this one commandment. Love one another. You avoid a lot of ambiguity that way. You know, some people may argue about what does it mean exactly, do not murder. Does it, is it do not kill, or is it do not murder, or thou shalt not, or thou will not? I, you know, it depends on translator. But this particular case, it doesn't matter, because he's saying it'll all come into focus if you keep this commandment. You will want to do what helps other people, not hurts them. You see, if we measured all of our laws and regulation against the simple standards of love each other, do no harm, because God loved you first, I think we would find ourselves drawn into a much richer conversation. I remember back a year or so ago during this whole George Zimmerman, Trayvon Martin deal that the media just seemed consumed with, and the acquittal of Zimmerman and the death of Martin and all that happened there. I remember during that time that the commandment, thou shalt not kill, was actually used by both sides of the argument. I'm saying, how can you do that? I mean, how can you really do that? And, you know, it was kind of ironic. It was kind of ironic in all that happened, and it was a tragic situation, don't get me wrong. But I thought, instead of quoting that, how can we better love one another? How can we better love our neighbor? And on both sides of that trial, why don't we use the standard of love your neighbor? Love your neighbor as yourself. That should be our standard. That should be why we don't want to harm anybody. And now, you know, the point of this sermon is not to take a stand on that decision or anything else. We've got better things to do. We've got God's things to do here. But my point is that simply to invite us to see all of this in context, how does it fit within the command to love? To love, to truly love as God loves us. To do loving things for one another out of a deep commitment to be the hands and feet of Christ in this world. To show people Christ through our actions, through our attitudes, through our spoken words. How do we do that? It seems like it should be pretty straightforward. Seems like it should be. But you know, seldom is life that clean and straightforward. Life happens and ministry can get messy. You know, when you're caring for one another, sometimes it gets a little messy. Relationships can get messy. I see these signs and I see bumper stickers, and I kind of cringe when I see it, because it says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And I've seen a different version of that. It says, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. And it had I believe it marked out. Like, it doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. You know, the fact that God said it settles it. And if it were that clean and simple in our own lives, wouldn't that be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful? You know, but granted, we say we believe God's word. But do our actions line up with what we're saying out of our mouths? You see, life gets a little messy. Do we say what we really mean? Does everything that we say and do line up with God's word 100% of the time? I can't raise my hand and say, yep, that's me. I can't. I bless you if you can. So if our actions and our words don't match up with God's word 100% of the time, then maybe it's not quite settled yet. We're still working on that. It's a process. You know, instead of putting forth to the world the image that we as Christians have all the answers, how about we throw out there that we're sinners saved by grace, and that we're trying to live out the commandment to love God with all that we have and all that we are, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. We're trying to do that. I believe that message would be better received than the one we keep throwing out there. to be honest, to be open, to be loving and caring. I think that's why verse 8 and verse 10, I think that's why those verses are so important. You know, it takes us out of our comfort zone. You know, in taking us out of our comfort zone, we might try to create, you know, it reminds us that life can be confusing. Life can be a little touchy at times. And we need this constant blessing, this constant touch from the Master. And indeed, we are invited. We are called. We are commanded and challenged to measure life in a very intriguing way. Rather than look for simple and blunt answers to complex issues, we are told instead, love each other. Love each other because God loved us first. Love each other because God alone is able to give us the ability to love unconditionally as He loves us. Or to put it another way, the only debt that we should owe anyone is to be Christ to them. To seek to be loving to a fault. I think that's what Paul wants us to understand today. It's challenging. But we've got the power of the Holy Spirit to help us. So I'm going to pray now, and I invite you to pray in your own heart that God will continue to touch you and bless you and shape you and mold you to be more like the person of Jesus Christ. Let's pray and ask for His help. Gracious Father, we confess that we get it wrong. We get it wrong a lot of the times because we're looking out for ourselves instead of trying to be who You've created us to be. You've created us to be more like You. You've created us to be Christ ones. More like Christ, less like our selfish selves. Father, we pray that in the journey that You've placed us on, that Your Spirit would walk with us, give us the strength for the day, give us the encouragement, the guidance that we need to become more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name that we pray. Amen. If you're here and you're not a believer, I challenge you this morning. Consider carefully the call of Christ to salvation. I'm going to be here at the front in just a moment when we stand and sing. And I challenge you. If you're not a believer, hear God's voice clearly. I'll be glad to speak with you about your relationship with Christ. I can't stress it enough. Take that what you're feeling inside, the Spirit drawing you to God. Take that very seriously. If you don't want to come and talk with me this morning, call me this week. I'll be glad to sit down and talk with you about it. If you're here this morning, you are a believer, but you've been kind of running your own show and looking out for number one, I encourage you that you should be looking out for number one, but number one's not you, okay? You should be looking out for the most important thing in your life, and that is your relationship with Jesus Christ. So get that straight this morning as we sing. And if you're here this morning and you'd like to be a member of this church, there are a number of ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you about that. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now.
To all His love and have not
ask you to be seated for just a moment. Let me introduce you to Melinda. Melinda, come on up here. She doesn't like crowds, okay? She doesn't like standing in front of crowds. So y'all smile at her, okay? You're smiling. See, they're friendly. It's a friendly group. She's coming this morning requesting membership by a statement of faith. She's coming from Beulah United Church of Christ, and so we accept her by a statement of faith, having experienced believers' baptism. So if you will encourage her and smile when you see her and not be mean to her, would you join me in saying amen? She said, "I'm in trouble." At the conclusion of the service, after the benediction and our response, she's going to be here. And Kate, her friend Kate, if you would come join her at that time and stand with her, you come by and speak a word of encouragement. Introduce yourself to her. She's not going to remember all your names, but you're going to remember hers, right? All right, very good. Would you stand with me now for our benediction? Gracious Father, we thank you for the time that we've enjoyed together. Father, it truly has been a blessing to be in your house, to be with one another. Father, to feel your spirit here, giving us hope, give us encouragement. Father, we pray that we would be a blessing, even as we've received a blessing today, that we would be a blessing to those that you put in our path this week. God, we love you. And we pray that our words and our deeds would match up with that. It's in Jesus' name that we pray.